Welcome to Better Life Church. Everyone in the audience, those online, despite my boyish good looks, I am not Pastor Daniel. All right, let's get that straight. I want to thank Pastor Daniel, though, for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Brad Ward, and I was one of the original core team members at had the first informational meeting back in 2007, so I drank the Kool-Aid early. I've been around ever since. I'm one of the overseers here at the church, and I serve in the Red Room. So I'm gonna give a shout out to the Red Room. Let us pray for you. You know, let us connect with you. Come see us out there after service, in between service, however we can help you, come see us out there. But it's actually cool. So two years ago, this Tuesday, I preached my very first message. It was when we were over to the middle school. And the message basically talked about my family's struggle with infertility. And at that point in our lives, we had moved to Western Kentucky, about 5 hours from here, for a business opportunity. We went down there to buy a business. And I commuted back and forth for about 6 months. And so, you know, we left the church here, we left our family. It was a pretty big, you know, the Lord confirmed it though through me and my wife, and I went down there to buy this business. And while we were down there, we were kind of starting the process of trying to have children. And so turned out that the business purchase didn't work out. We were trying to have children, that wasn't working out. Several fertility procedures, that didn't work out. So then we started thinking, well, let me try to get a job and I can come back here, come back to our family, come back, be a part of the church. Didn't get interviews. Nothing was going right. Is that speaking to anyone this morning? Do any of you feel like that things just aren't happening the way you thought they would? That you can't just catch a break? That great things are happening for everyone else around you, but not for you? And if that speaks to you this morning, I want to encourage you. That message was in our Voices series. It was the fifth message called The Voice of God Miracles. On the app or online, I want to give a shameless plug. Go check that out because I feel like that will really speak into your life this morning. But since Pastor Daniel, since that message and Pastor Daniel giving me the opportunity, I began to just, you know, I'd be driving along, might be in the shower. Random times, the Lord would just speak to me and say, here's a potential message. And he would give me a theme. Here's a potential message. And so I began to take those messages and pull them over into my Evernote app. And I started to get a list of things there. And then I would read at night. I like to read my Bible at night. And so I would sit down and I would read, and the Lord would say, well, that scripture fits with that potential message. That scripture fits with that message. And I just started building out messages. And so when Daniel asked me if I would share today, there was one particular message that the Lord just said, this is the one that I want you to share. And so as I began to think about that message, there were really, and I'm a pharmacist, by the way, so you're going to get a little bit of a clinical undertone to what I'm going to talk about today. So if you will, there were two patient types that really, that I was thinking about as I began to prepare the message. And one patient type is the person who kind of grew up in church. Maybe their parents went to church, maybe their grandparents went to church, and they were always kind of random. They went to Bible school, but then when they got to be an adult themselves, they wouldn't commit to the Lord. For whatever reason, they didn't have their own personal relationship with the Lord. The other patient type could be a couple different people, but one of them would be the person who never grew up in church. The only church they knew was a church they passed going to Walmart on Saturdays. It would be someone who maybe they tried to go to church a little bit, but the church offended or hurt them, and then they lumped every other church out there in with that particular church that hurt their feelings, so they just wrote off church from then on. Or it could be the person who, maybe they didn't have a real good relationship with the Lord, but that one time, their mom was sick with cancer. And they said, Lord, I'm going to pray this one time, and if you'll heal my mom, then I'll follow you. But the Lord didn't heal their mom. And so that was the two patient types that I thought about. But I realized as I got more into the studying of this message that there's a third patient type, and this one may hit a little closer to home. This patient type is the Christian, is the believer. And so the title or the theme of this message, the theme of this message is hardened hearts. And we're going to do something a little bit different maybe. You know, Satan can use anything that we develop. He can use all these against us. And so social media is something that we all most of us use, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you use, we like that. We use that. Well, Satan, as you know, can use that for his benefit as well. And so we're going to try to be innovative in the way that we go after people this morning. And so I'm going to give you some key points to this message. And as we quote those points, if that speaks to you, I want to encourage you to share those key points on whatever social media platform that you follow, and tag Better Life Church in it. My hope this morning is that someone who doesn't come to church, who doesn't know Christ, will be in your network. And if that point spoke to you, maybe it'll speak to them as well. And maybe they'll be like, that was a pretty neat point. What are they? They got this church tagged in there? Well, let me go check that church out. Maybe they'll watch a message online. Maybe it won't be my message. Maybe it'll be somebody else's. Maybe that'll draw them and they say, well, maybe I need to go check that church out. Maybe we'll have them walk through these front doors all because you tweeted or posted a point that meant something to you. So let's try to be a little bit different, a little bit innovative this morning, because Satan's being innovative. He's going after people. He's being creative in the way that he attacks it, the media. So let us meet him where he is. So that, I want to say that up front. So our first hashtag, and we talked about the three different patient types. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. It doesn't matter where you come from. Satan is an equal opportunity destroyer, but God is an equal opportunity employer, and he wants to use you for his service this morning. So let's pray right now and ask God to just speak to us through his word this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your son who died that we might live. We thank you for your word, Father, that just speaks to us and guides our every step. We ask that you would just clear out the distractions that are in our minds this morning, Father, things that happened this week, things that are up and coming next week. Father, we know that Satan will even speak to us and try to distract us during service. And we pray that you would just give us peace, that you would surround us right now. Help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on your word. Speak to us this morning, Lord. Help us to leave here forever changed. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this message title is going to be Heart of Clay. And if you think about clay, if you take a piece of clay and it kind of starts to dry out, it's just sitting there on a table, starts to dry out, and then it gets thrown into the oven, it's going to come out hard as a stone and not good for anything. And I equate the oven to the world, because when you go out into the world will try to bake you. The world will try to fire you, trial by fire. Well, the good thing about living water, the Spirit of God, when you pour that living water back into a dried out piece of clay, it again, when you work with it, becomes flexible and pliable. And in the potter's hands, that clay can be shaped into something useful and fruitful for God's service. You know, Isaiah tells us that we are the clay and you're the potter. We are formed by your hand. And if we will allow that living water to soak into our clay this morning, we will once again become useful for his service. You know, hardened is mentioned 53 times in the Bible. And if you look at the definition of hardened, it means to become more severe, less sympathetic, and this is my favorite one, to desensitize. Now, let me give you an analogy. So when I was younger and I first got my license, some of you who know me are going to think I'm crazy, but I was very sensitive to the speed limit. I drove really, really slow. I was like 55, stay alive. I would set my cruise out here on 32. And I drove really, I had an 86 Buick Regal. It was like metallic maroon, had a vinyl roof, had the velour interior. I was, you know, and then I eventually put stereo equipment in it, and it all sunk in the back. So I was, looked like a boat planing out of water. It was, I tried to make it cool, but it really wasn't very cool. But I was very sensitive to the speed limit. Now, I was a younger person in my class, so a lot of my buddies had their license a lot longer than me. And I remember one night we were going to Maysville, and my parents are here, and I'm kind of telling on myself, but we were going to go to Maysville, and this was, so my buddy passed me running like 70, and he had a bunch of guys in his car, and I had guys in my car, and they were giving me a hard time because I was just driving real slow. you know, and he's gone. We'll see you when we get there. But that's the way, because I was very sensitive to the speed. I didn't want to get a ticket. I didn't want to be the guy that first got his license and then wrecked a couple months later. But the funny thing is, the further that I saw my friends drive fast and not get pulled over, not have a wreck, the more I wanted to kind of push that limit myself. And I became desensitized to the speed limit. And within the first 6 months of having my license, I've been pulled over 3 times and gotten 2 tickets. Now, I will say I'm a reformed speeder. I try to do better now, and I keep the racing to the racetrack. But I'm telling you folks this morning, this is very similar to our walk with Christ. Because the further we get from fellowship with the Father, the further we get from His Word, the further we get from being around people who go to church, the further we get from Him, the more desensitized we become. And there's a void that's created. And in that void, it gives Satan an opportunity to gain a foothold. And he will then lead you down some dangerous and risky paths. Some of the times when I was speeding, I was not only a danger to those around me, but I was a danger to those that were in my car, those who I loved and cared about. And in the same way, when Satan takes you down a dangerous and risky path, you often hurt those you love the most. And so to illustrate this, let's get into some scripture this morning. I like the scripture that Pastor Andrew Womack uses to illustrate this. We're going to be in Mark this morning, Mark 6, 30 through 56. Mark 6, 47 will be on the screen. So if you want to go ahead to Mark 6, 47, we'll get there. But this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And this is your familiar scripture, if you know this. The disciples, they're preaching, Jesus is preaching kind of in a remote area. And they've been there quite some time. And he doesn't want to send the folks away hungry. And so he asks the disciples, hey, you feed them. And so they look around. They find a boy there that's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He gives thanks, breaks those, and distributes them to the people that were there, and they are filled. 5,000 people, not including women and children. So it was really 15 to 20,000 people that were fed that day. And they took up baskets of leftovers. He sends those folks away. Then he tells the disciples to go across the lake in a boat while he reserves himself to pray. And this is where we pick up in 47. Late that night, the disciples were in the boat in the middle of the lake. Jesus was alone on land. He saw they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on water. He intended to go past them, but when he saw them walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking that he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, I am here." Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, and here's the point. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Now, if we pause there for just a moment, you know, when I read this, I felt like, you know, this is us. We have a great big God who is capable of far more than we could ever think or imagine. Now, these folks here have been with him 24/7. They've seen previous miracles before now. But here they just saw him feed 5,000. So really, about the same population as Round County, they saw him feed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's a major miracle, folks. A major miracle. But yet when they see him walking on water, they can't comprehend that he's capable of that too. And they're like, this must be a ghost. It can't be him. He can't do that kind of miracle. Well, the feeding of 5,000 is probably just as big of a miracle as walking on water. But they made him a small God. They put God in a box and limited him to what they could think of, to their capabilities or what they had seen. God is much more than what you have already seen, because he's willing and ready to do a new miracle in your life if you'll let him. So we jump ahead to Mark 8. 8:14 through 21 will be on the screen in a moment. The background here is that Jesus now is going to feed 4,000. So we've gone from Mark 6 to Mark 8, just 2 chapters. So time-wise, we don't really know how much time has transpired, but it's not very long. And so again, he's teaching in a remote place. He doesn't want to send the people there away hungry. And so he finds this time 7 loaves and a few fish, gives thanks to the Lord, breaks it, distributes them, and everyone is filled and they take up leftovers. He then sends them away and a few things transpire. Then he is with the guys, with the disciples, going across the lake in a boat again. And we pick up in Mark 14. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They only had 1 loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, "Watch out! Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Now, at this, as I read this, I'm just like, what is wrong with these people? You know, if it were me and not Jesus, I'd have been like, man, give me another 12. Get these 12 out of here and get me somebody else in here that actually can follow me. But Jesus, in his love and mercy, knew what they were saying, and he said, "Why are you arguing about having no bread?" And these are the points here. Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterwards? They remembered this, 12, they said. And what when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 7. Don't you understand yet? So again, being a pharmacist, I look at this from a clinical perspective, and I think, all right, this is a cardiology problem. You know, in medicine, you go to the doctor with symptoms, and the symptoms are what we utilize to help figure out what the root cause is. And we call that root cause the etiology. And so Jesus has given us 5 symptoms here of a hardened heart, and those are on the screen. Unable to perceive, unable to understand, unable to see, unable to hear, and unable to remember. Now, obviously, these disciples could literally see and they could literally hear, but spiritually, they were blind and spiritually, they were deaf. If you were to look at these folks and say, what's their prognosis? Well, the short-term prognosis is maybe stable condition, but the long-term prognosis is one of eternal life or death. Just as Jesus' word has given us symptoms of a hardened heart, he's also provided us with some treatments for a hardened heart. Now, in America, we really have a sick care system. We don't have a health care system because we care for sick people. Health care would insinuate that we're doing preventative medicine. Preventative medicine is rooted in lifestyle intervention. And so what we've got this morning are 4 lifestyle interventions that no matter where you're a Christian or whether you don't know Christ, these 4 lifestyle interventions will soften your heart and make you more able to receive God's word. They will strengthen your fellowship. So we love acronyms in medicine. We're going to call these the 4 R's of spiritual heart health. So number one is repent of sin. Now I used to DJ. I love XM radio, got XM radio in the car. Used to listen to music all the time, but as I've gotten older, I started listening to talk radio. And one of the programs I really love to listen to, and I know it's boring and, you know, whatever, but I like to listen to doctor radio. And so I'm driving along, I'm listening to doctor radio, I'm super engaged in the show. They're going to give the cure for cancer. On the show, they're going to give us the cure for every form of cancer known to man. I'm driving along, I'm listening to this, I'm super engaged. And as just they're about to give the punchline of what this new therapy is, I hear, because I drove under some trees. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're going to give this miraculous cure, and all I'm hearing is static. I come out the other side, finally get signal, and it's a commercial break. So I've missed the whole thing. Now, what happened? Well, there was a barrier between me and the satellite. Well, in your life, if you want to have fellowship with the Father, you got to remove the barrier of sin that is blocking connection to His Spirit. I want you to get this. This is the first hashtag. What if God is wanting to cure the cancer in your life, but you can't hear His voice because sin is blocking your fellowship? Let me repeat that. What if God is wanting to cure the cancer in your life? Could be literally, could be figuratively. But you can't hear his voice because sin is blocking your fellowship. You know, First John tells us that if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But if we don't confess our sins, they have a cumulative desensitizing effect on our spirit, making it difficult for us to determine right from wrong. These people will take one step in the wrong direction, and the Lord is trying to speak to them. He's trying to get them on track. He's sending people into their life that's trying to encourage them to get them back on track. But they're spiritually blind. They're spiritually deaf. They're not listening. So they take another step in the wrong direction and another step in the wrong direction. Has that ever been you folks? Have you ended up someplace so far off track? You woke up one morning like, how in the world did I get here? This wasn't the way my life I thought it would go. If that's ever happened to you, understand that God has something more for you. You know, the alcoholic that started with one drink. The drug abuse began with one high. That affair started with one wink. If you don't identify the sin, repent of it immediately, it will consume you. You can't persist in sin. If that's you this morning, I want you to know that God wants to do something significant and special in your life. You're meant for more than a bottle, and you are meant for more than a pill. It's never too late to start a new deal. If you don't think God has anything for you, I want you to look at what it says in Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Here's the hashtag. If you want a brighter future, you must restore fellowship with the Father. Folks, we get aggressive. We get jacked up and excited about watching UK basketball. And we try to get jacked up and excited about UK football, but you know how that goes. But we get really excited about earthly things. But I'm telling you this morning, we need to be aggressive in our pursuit of Christ. We need to declare, today is the day that I repent of sin and follow Jesus. We need to cry out to him as it says in Psalms. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Here's the summary. Remove the sin, restore the fellowship, and regain your spiritual eyes and ears. The second lifestyle intervention. We need you to read. But don't just read. You need to understand and apply what you read. And I was driving here a couple weeks ago, and I was listening to Caleb, and they reported that a recent survey says that only 14% of those who consider themselves Bible readers actually read their Bible daily. Only 14%. And those are Christians. You know, we make time in life for the things that edify us physically. You know, we'll eat every day. We'll get some sleep every day. We make sure we take a bath every day. That's pretty important. But we'll do all those things. But what about taking care of our own spiritual health? Well, we need to be consuming soul food every day through the reading of God's word. How can we, and this hurts a little bit, but how can we expect the unbeliever to read their Bible daily if we are not doing it ourselves? You know, I like to read the Bible at night, and I'll sit down to read at night. And inevitably, I've got twin boys that are 2.5 years old, so that's a struggle in and of itself. But with work and life and the boys and stuff, I'll sit down at night and I'll be tired. And Satan will say, man, you read most days. Why don't you take tonight off? Just go on to bed. You've earned it. You've been reading. Well, what if I take a day off? What happens? Well, the next night, inevitably, I'm even busier and I'm even more tired. And he's like, well, take tonight off. And before you know it, it's been a week since you've read. And it's in that void that Satan gains a foothold. So when he speaks to me like that, I think, you know, when Jesus went to the cross for me, what if Jesus had said, you know, I'm too tired for these people. I think I'll just pass. I think I'll let them take care of themselves. Did he do that for? No, he didn't do that. He bore our sin and our shame while we were yet sinners. And so when I think about what he did for me, I'm like, man, the least I can do for him is read. And I act like I'm doing it for him, but really it's to me. I get the benefit. I'm restoring fellowship with the Father. I'm gaining in my knowledge of the Lord when I read. You know, Timothy says reading the book is profitable. And we had Joe Sengel here a couple months ago talking about money and finances. Well, if you want, and this is the hashtag, if you want to maximize your spiritual return on investment, we must be intentional about spending time in God's Word daily. The reality is the further we get from reading God's Word, the more desensitized and hardened our heart can become. You know, the only power that Satan has over us are his lies. But how can we expect to reconcile Satan's lies with God's truth if you don't know his Word? And like I said, we can't just know his Word. We can't just read his Word, but we have to understand it. Think back to when Jesus was here on earth. And the Bible tells us that Satan pulled him away in a far place to tempt him after he was already hungry. So he's already in a weakened condition. Satan pulled him away to tempt him. What did he do when he tempted him? What did he do? He quoted Jesus' scripture. Satan knew scripture. He was quoting it to him. But Jesus understood the scripture. He knew the context. And so when Satan quoted it to him, then he returned fire with God's word in the right context. And Satan had to leave him. James tells us and gives us practical advice about applying God's word. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. We must do what it says. Otherwise, we're only fooling ourselves. Start with just 10 minutes a day. If you don't read, start with just 10 minutes. But before you sit down to read, I want you to pray. I want you to ask God to give you understanding about what you're about to read. I want you to ask him to speak to you through his word. You know, prayer should not be our last line of defense. It should be our first line of offense. And if you think about the armor of God in God's word, the only offensive weapon that you have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So synergize your sword by praying for a greater understanding of God's word. After you've prayed, just read for 5 minutes. You can put down social media. You can stop Netflix binging for this 10-minute period and get into God's word. Just read 5 minutes. Then after you've read, take 2 or 3 minutes, sit in quiet, and listen. Meditate quietly and have God speak to you through his word. It will literally transform your life. Here's the summary. Read, reflect, apply, and repeat that daily. Here's the third lifestyle intervention. We need to remember who God is. You know, God's love has a softening effect on our hearts. Now, for those of you who play baseball or softball, how hard is it to catch with a brand new glove? It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's not flexible, hard to get it open. I remember when I got my first baseball glove, my dad took the glove, he oiled it up really good, we put a baseball in it, tied a string around it, set it there for a couple days. And that oil began to permeate that leather, and it soaked in really good. So then when I went out to practice with it after that, it was a lot more flexible. That oil had a softening effect on that leather and made it easier to receive the ball. In the same way, and I love this word, in the same way, if you will consider, that means to stop, reflect, get away from the busyness of the world, stop and consider God's love for you. In that while we were yet sinners, he willingly laid his life down for us. When you will consider his love for you, it has a softening effect on your heart. It makes it easier to receive his word and hear his voice. But no one on life on earth here is immune to trials and tribulations. Yet just as steel is forged by a blacksmith's hammer, so too can your faith be strengthened through the trials we encounter in the valleys of life. Listen to what it says in Romans. But we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that our sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God, get this now, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. He is pouring out his love into our hearts to soften our hearts, to make it easier to receive what he has for us. If you're without hope this morning, would you consider going all in on Jesus as Pastor Jacob preached a couple weeks ago? You know, unlike the stock market where disclaimers say past performance is not indicative of future returns, we have the assurance that God is never changing and ever faithful. And what he did for us yesterday, he can do for us again tomorrow. But don't get it twisted. God's faithfulness is not a Visa gift card. Things aren't always going to go our way. Prayers aren't always going to be answered in the way that you pray them. This is a hard one to hear, but sometimes that miracle is not for you. You think about the organ donor who can save up to 8 lives with one donation. You think about the person who faces tremendous trials in their lives, tremendous tragedy, but elects to praise God through their tragedy and turn their trial into their testimony, as Brandon preached in his message. You know, it's in these difficult times, and here's the hashtag, I pray that you want the healer more than the healing, because Jesus is still Lord, even if the healing doesn't come. Let me repeat that. I pray that you want the healer more than the healing, because Jesus is still Lord, even if the healing doesn't come. God is good in the good times, and he's good in the bad times. He's a God of the mountain and of the valley. Let us not forget the feeding of 5,000 when the storm hits our boat and we see Jesus walking out to us on the water. I want you to remember this, and this is the summary. Our faith isn't only based upon what we have seen, but our faith is based upon who God is. We need to remember. The final lifestyle intervention is to reflect. You know, in school, we test students to assess their learning. In work, we do performance evaluations. In sport, we do competition. All of these are to assess our current level of performance. Are we growing or are we getting worse? Are we stagnant? Now, if we test all these other facets of our life, which is temporary, how much more important is it for us to assess the condition of our own spiritual health? You know, 2 Corinthians tells us, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. You know, we have to be willing to take an honest look in the mirror without bias or favor, and to assess our own spiritual health. And we need to do this pretty often. One way we can assess our spiritual health is to look at our motives in life. Are our thoughts pure? Are our actions consistent with God's word? Or are they a small or even a large step in a direction away from his will? One way you can assure that your motives are pure is to shift your perspective away from an earthly one of comparison, pride, and self-pity. You know, comparison, social media loves comparison. We love to post the highlight reel of life And when people read that, they're like, man, my life's not like that. My life's not a highlight reel. And we compare. We should not do this, folks. We need to shift our perspective away from comparison to one of an eternal perspective of gratitude and thanksgiving. Here's the hashtag in life. It's not the happy people who are grateful, but the grateful people that are happy. You know, no matter your circumstances, whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, there is no greater emotion than gratitude. Gratitude will change the way you think, and it will begin to soften your heart. Where there's pride and there's bitterness, there's despair. But where there's gratitude and thanksgiving, there's hope. Living with a spirit of gratitude is one factor that can bring peace into your life. And we know this, true peace isn't found in the absence of problems, but true peace is found in the presence of God. I want you to recall Brandon's message when he talked about Job. In one day, Job lost all of his livestock, he lost all of his servants, and for you parents, he lost all of his children in one day. But because he stood firm in his relationship with the Father, this is how he responded to the news. Then Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, think about the perspective that it took for him to say this. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Job displayed the love of God in this moment, manifested as a heart of gratitude. And here's your summary. Your perspective can direct your motives. So live life through the eyes of Christ. While we will likely never experience the magnitude of tragedy that Job did that day, if we approach life with the same perspective that he had, that heaven is your final destination, not earth, and with the motives that are grounded in gratitude and thanksgiving, then we too can respond to any circumstance with clean hands, a pure heart, and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Let me have you bow your heads. So I want to ask you today, is your heart hardened? Have you been pulled away from a relationship with the Lord? Or have you yet to establish fellowship with the Father? Have you always known you were on the wrong track, but for some reason you just couldn't seem to make the right decisions? Are you so far off track that you don't even know how you got there? Or are you feeling that maybe you've taken that one step or that second step in the wrong direction? I want you to know, folks, that today is the day to make the best decision you've ever made. The Bible tells us today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. God still has plans to give you a hope and a future. But to do that, you need to have a relationship with the Father. Folks, it is so simple. You know, his word tells us that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you need him this morning, if you are lost, if you are off track, if you see yourself taking steps in the wrong direction, today's the day to reconcile that. If that's you this morning and you want a relationship with the Father, you want to take a deeper walk with him, with eyes closed and heads bowed, would you be willing to raise your hand and say, today is the day? that I want to go deeper in my relationship with Him? Would you be so bold as to raise your hand? I see those hands. If you're a Christian and you felt yourself slipping away, if that void has been brought in and you feel the devil gaining a foothold, if you're a Christian today and you want a deeper walk with Him, would you raise your hand? Would you be so bold as to say, I can feel the devil slipping in. I want a deeper walk with you. I want to regain fellowship. I'm repenting right now of the sin that has entered my life, and I'm going to remove that sin. I see those hands. I would encourage you, if you made that decision today, that you would go to the red room. If you've accepted Jesus, there's a communication card on the seat back in front of you. Just say, today is the day I decided to follow Christ. This is Baptism Sunday, folks. We've got everything you need. If you want to jump in and get baptized, we can make that happen. We can make that happen. Just go see us in the red room when this is all over with. So we talked about who God is, and I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this. He is the center. He is the foundation. He is the hope of every nation. He is our protector. He is our shield. He is the rock on which we build. He is our help. He is our peace. And on Baptism Sunday, He washes. He washes our sins as white as fleece. He is full of love. He is full of grace. He offers a crown of life to those who finish the race. He is the light. He is the way. He can turn your heart of stone into a heart of clay. He will lead you through the dark of night and into the light of day. He is all you need. What more can I say? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Son. We thank you for your word. We just pray for those folks that have accepted you for the first time as your Savior today, Father. Just do a work in their heart. Protect them in the upcoming days and weeks, Father. Encourage those who are becoming baptized. Father, there are people who are going to leave here forever changed. And we thank you for your love and your mercy, Father. Help us to see you in a fresh and purposeful way every day, Father. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.